You're listening to the Yahweh podcast at the feast. We'll be turning to Psalm 42, Tehillim 42. I'm Stefan Yah, and this program is being sent out to our communist enemies overseas and here in the United States of America. On the feast, the title of this program is Hope. So in Psalm 42, we read now, "As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O Yahweh. My soul thirsteth for Yahweh, for the living Yahweh. When shall I come and appear before Yahweh?" And by the way, the answer to that question is found in Leviticus 23. He tells us when his appointments with us are listed there in Leviticus 23. Verse 3, 42 verse 3, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy Elohim?" Also see Psalm 81 and Isaiah 25, and we're going to be doing that. Verse 4, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of Yahweh with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept feast day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in Yahweh." For there's our key word. "Hope thou in Yahweh, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my Yahweh, my soul is cast down within me, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of their waterspouts, or of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet Yahweh will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto Yahweh, the Yahweh of my life. I will say unto Yahweh, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I a mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy Elohim? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in Yah, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, who is the health of my countenance and my Elohim." You'll also find that in the next, in Psalm 43, verse 5. And human race puts their hope in many things these days, in the computer, in automobiles, in all kinds of material possessions, in programs, in psychology, psychiatry, in psychotropic drugs, in all sorts of media, programs, all kinds of things. But they have a hard time remembering Yahweh in the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 16. "Yahweh also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but Yahweh will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall you know that I am Yahweh, your mighty one, dwelling in Zion, my pure mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be pure, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. Jerusalem shall be separated and pure. It'll be Kodesh unto Yahweh. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Yehuda shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of Yahweh, and shall water the valley of Shittim." Let's go to the book of Acts. Acts 2:24, "Whom the Mighty One has raised up," speaking of the Messiah, "whom the Mighty One has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaks concerning him," that is, speaks of the Messiah, "I foresaw Yahweh always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine separated or pure one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchres with us unto this day. By the way, that was written after the resurrection of the Messiah. Verse 30, therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that Mighty One had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Messiah to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Messiah, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. So Messiah did not stay in the grave after the 17th of Aviv. He was impaled or crucified on the tree at Calvary. On Aviv 14, that's the first month, the 14th day, even beginning the day. And he was resurrected 3 nights and 3 days later, according to Matthew 12:40. He was resurrected according to Matthew 12:40 and Matthew 28, and before the sun set again on Aviv 17, 3 nights and 3 days later. Acts 23:6, when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And have hope." This is actually in 24 now, in Acts 24:15. "And I have hope toward the Mighty One," or Yahweh, "which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Looking then in 1 John chapter 3, in the epistle of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of Yahweh," or the Mighty One. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." When who should appear? When the Messiah shall appear to judge the living and the dead. And that was 1 John 3, 2, and then in verse 3, "And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. Whoever commits sins transgresses also the law," or the Torah, "for sin is the transgression of the law." We're 8 minutes into the broadcast about hope today on this wonderful feast day. Whether it be a high day for you or a common day during the feasts, we implore you to celebrate it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and rejoice. In Romans chapter 12, Paul also writes to the Romans here in chapter 12 of the book of the Romans, 12:12, and he says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." So let's rejoice in hope today, the hope of the second coming of the Messiah, to welcome his children and to dine with him in that great, great supper to come, the great supper of Yahweh, even as Passover, the memorial supper, symbolizes the gathering together of believers with the Messiah, sitting down together and supping the bread and drinking the wine and celebrating in Yahweh's name. And there's the humbling of ourselves as we pray and we say, "Wash the brethren, wash each other's feet, and the sistern, wash each other, their feet." Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. So then in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." And then in verse 13, in chapter 15:13, "Now Yahweh, the Mighty One of hope, may he fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Ruach HaKadosh." Let's go to Ephesians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians. We'll just go right up the line there through the Scriptures. And these are Scriptures about hope that I highlighted for you. There, the website as well on YahweHYHWH.name. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and you were strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without the Mighty One, without Yahweh in the world. Okay, Colossians 1:5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. The hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the evangel, or the gospel. And then in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, talking about the helmet, the hope of salvation, not to be confused with Galatians 6, putting on the full armor and the helmet of salvation. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Yes, he assures us that we can and are saved and delivered from our past sinful natures, that we've had the incarnate Son, Yahweh's only begotten Son, in our hearts, and the Ruach HaKadosh guiding us and inspiring us to love his word and his truth and to believe it, and also go on to eternal life. Titus chapter 1 and 2. Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which the sovereign one that cannot lie promised before the world began. In hope of eternal life, we are reaching out to him. He reaches out. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great mighty one and the Savior, Yahushua Messiah. Looking for the blessed hope. And he's just around the corner. It is it's just so close. Sometimes I can't believe the things that are going on around us. And there's a book called Yahweh Yoga. There's one called Jesus Yoga. There's all kinds of weird, strange things that we shouldn't be amazed by all these things going on, because these are the last days. So you never know what somebody's going to say, what might happen, what might transpire next, and just rejoice, because it means that we're that much closer. If someone falsely accuses you of being a liar or a great, deep, terrible sinner or something or another, rejoice. Yes, rejoice. Great are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of Yahweh, says there in Matthew 5, on that great Sermon on the Mount. So Titus chapter 3, verse 7, we are justified by Yahweh, not by our works. We are justified by his, what is called in the King James, grace, or more properly, unmerited favor. And there are several other renditions, too, of that word that you could look up. That being justified by his unmerited favor, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And even Job had that great hope, didn't he? Job chapter 19. And then after that, to give you the heads up, this is coming up, is Isaiah 25 and then the book of the Revelation. Okay, Job chapter 19, verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He shall stand, my Redeemer shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see the Mighty One, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. So he says, even in his flesh he shall see, yet in my flesh I shall see the Mighty One. In verse 26 there. 28, but you shall say, why persecute we him, seeing the root of the matter is found in me? Be ye afraid of the sword, for wrath bringeth the punishments of the sword, that you may know that there is a judgment. Yes, we like to use that strong language in there. The power is in the word. not in some philosophy or in someone's version of the commentary. Isaiah 25 is coming up next here on the Message of Hope today. Now let's repeat what Job said earlier there, and that'll tie in with Isaiah. Okay, back to Job. I'm going to start at the beginning. Job 19:25. Our brother said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." That should be a capital H there, that he shall stand. Now we'll make that change here on the text. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see the Mighty One." Then down in Isaiah 25, verse 8, "He will swallow up death in victory, and Yahweh the Mighty One will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth. The rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for Yahweh has spoken. And it shall be said in that day, Lo, this is our Mighty One. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is Yahweh. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, or Yochanan, saw the pure city, New Jerusalem, coming down from the Mighty One of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of the Mighty One is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and the Mighty One, or Yahweh himself, shall be with them and be their Mighty One," or be their Elohim. So, I'll change that to Yahweh. "Yahweh is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. The Mighty One, or Yahweh himself, shall be with them." Actually, we're talking about the Son here. "Yahusha himself shall be with them and be their Mighty One." Revelation 21:4, "And Yahusha shall wipe away all tears from their eyes," just like it said in Isaiah in the prophecy. So, "Yahusha shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Isaiah 26:19, "Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." A verse about resurrection from Isaiah, another resurrection verse also found in Daniel 12:2. And verse 21, "Behold, Yahweh comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity, for their law-breaking. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain." Then in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it tells about the order of how we are to be resurrected. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." This is Thessalonians 4:13. "That you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So the converse of that is that we do have hope, and we do not sorrow, because we trust in Yahweh. So then in the next verse, "For if we believe that Yahusha died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Yahusha will the Mighty One bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of Yahweh, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of Yahweh shall not prevent them which are asleep. For Yahweh himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel," or the arch-messenger, "and with the trump of the Mighty One, and the dead in Messiah shall rise first. Then which we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet Yahweh in the air. So shall we ever be with Yahweh. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Yes, I'm very encouraged by always reading that First Thessalonians 4:13, but I often cannot pronounce it, is the only problem there. Second Timothy, chapter 1, verse 7. For Yahweh, the Mighty One, has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. That's 2 Timothy 1, 7. Yahweh has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And then verse 12, and I'm going to pick it up there in that verse, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep them, which I have committed unto him against that day. And that's not only a good song, but it means even more when we realize that Paul is being inspired by the Spirit, by the Ruach HaKadosh, to read this, that when we are thinking and are doubting that we are not saved or something to that effect, that we are persuaded that he is able to keep us, which we have committed to him until that day, so that we'll dwell with him in the land forever, won't we? So let's see, in the next chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him, we also shall live with him. Or we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Verse 17 and 18. So picking up the last part of 17, who it's speaking of here, Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of Yahweh the Mighty One standeth sure, having this seal. Yahweh knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Messiah depart from lawlessness, depart from iniquity, depart from Torah breaking. 2 Timothy 2:19. Here's a warning from Ezekiel. Yahweh gave this to Ezekiel in chapter 33, verse 8. And I read this to you today in this program about hope in him, that we don't hope in getting a material possession, say a real nice, long, sleek Cadillac. You know, we were told once by the people at this place to put a picture or a magnetic Cadillac on a refrigerator. Well, I would have just to have loved to have had the refrigerator to begin with. Not really, but even a better one. We had these old clunker refrigerators. So we started out by putting the Cadillac up there, the picture of it, and then we thought, well, that's vain. That's stupid. We don't need a Cadillac. We just need something nice that runs. So we were quite satisfied with that. And we had a nice car. Very, very comfortable, very plush. But it was an old clunker, though, I guess, in some people's opinion. But he said in Ezekiel 33, verse 8, to Ezekiel, Yahweh said, when I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require at thine hand. So even though I'm not Ezekiel, I do believe that he is speaking to me and to many others today, that we could either gently or harshly minister to others and communicate with others to either warn them very sternly or very, very gently and softly that they should or should not be doing something, some action or behavior or another. If it conflicts with what the Word says, if they're coming up with some new trend out of the world and that's brought into the churches, some heavy bouncing off the wall rock and roll that they bring into the assembly, into Messianic assemblies or other Protestant assemblies, then we need to run from that. If it's of Satan, if it's not of the Word of Yahweh, then we need to run from it. And I would be very, very cautious, even if we're not totally sure that this action or this thing is wrong, we need to If we're erring, we need to err on the side of caution, not on the side of casting fate to the wind and being careless, but err on the side of caution, even if we're not positively 100% sure about understanding an action or some kind of behavior or another. So here it is in 2 Peter 3:12 to wind things up for this feast day, and we hope that you're enjoying a very great one, or at least preparing for a fantastic, a wonderful feast day, whether it be Shavuot, or perhaps Passover. Yes, perhaps Passover, or the first fruits, Shavuot, or Sukkot. The three big traveling feasts that we need to get out from our normal surroundings and these things that kind of bog us down, these normal, mundane, everyday things that we fret over sometimes, that they're not even worth fretting over. Other things we need to be responsible for, of course, but not during the 7 days or 8 days, including the high days, not during those days of the feast day. Let's get out and have a real Haggag feast. That's a Hebrew word. Get out during these Moeds and these Haggags and Chags and celebrate the feasts and go up, as it were, symbolically to Jerusalem and prepare to go up to New Jerusalem in the future as Yahweh gives us the encouragement there. He nudges us gently and he says, oh, I would invite you to my table, but you would not, you know, you would not put on the proper robe of righteousness. You would not have the tokens of virginity. You didn't even care about that. Well, no, he wouldn't say that to you, probably, but perhaps he would if we neglect our salvation, if we just take things lightly and cast it off as if it's nothing at all. But, you know, in the midst of all the confusion, how are we going to remember that Yahweh is first in our life, and that our time, our vacation time, our quality time, the you know, in the private time in the bedroom, or when we're preparing a great meal, that we need to do it according to Yahweh and according to His Word, and not take our eyes off of Him, and always have that little lilt in the spirit to walk with Yahweh. And then it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh the Mighty One. Yahweh, YHVH. That's called the Tetragrammaton. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh the Mighty One, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And let's see. Oh, there was a verse that we were talking about in Romans 6 earlier. Romans chapter 6, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace or favor may abound? Yahweh forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were immersed into Yahusha, were immersed into His death? We are tubaled, or rakats, the Hebrew word for being immersed. Therefore we are buried with Him by immersion into death, that like His Messiah was raised up from the dead by the esteem or kavod, or it says in English, glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that this our old man is impaled with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he is dead, or for he that is dead is freed from sin. Knowing if we be dead with Messiah, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Messiah, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto Yahweh. Likewise reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto Yahweh through Yahusha our Master. And then also in 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter dealing with resurrection there. So let me please pick up some of the higher points that I like to read anyway. And he says that some are fallen asleep there in verse 6. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep again, or fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, Paul, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Yahweh. And let's go down to 12. Now if Messiah be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some of you among there that there is no resurrection of the dead? We read about that in 2 Timothy 2:18. Who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, overthrowing the faith of some. So Paul reiterates that there in Timothy it was, but here in 1 Corinthians 15, he said in verse 13, 15:13, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Messiah not risen? And if Messiah be not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. So there are some religions today that don't believe in the resurrection, so they are vain. And there's other vanity abounding too. But don't go looking for it, okay? Because it'll come and find you. You don't need to go find it. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of Yahweh, because we have testified of Yahweh that he raised up Messiah, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Messiah raised. And if Messiah be not raised, your faith is vain, yet you are yet in your sins. That's verse 17, so he's just repeating. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Messiah are perished. See also John 6:40. If in this life only we have hope in Messiah, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Messiah risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. So we think of Messiah during Passover, during Pesach, of having died for our sins. And we relate to that by taking of the elements of the bread. Some use leavened bread, some use unleavened bread, and they have their different reasons for that. And some use fermented, some use unfermented wine to represent Messiah's blood. But you look into the meaning of those words and you find out the truth. And I have published that already. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Messiah shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Messiah the first fruits, afterwards they that are Messiahs when they die. No, at his coming. So every man in his own order, Messiah shall be made alive, was made alive, and then we shall be made alive at his coming. See also Mark 9:4. And 1 Thessalonians, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It says here 1 Thessalonians chapter 14. The publishers made a little typographical there. Messiah, the first fruits, and after that, those that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to Yahweh, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Then let's go way up to 33. Says, be not deceived. Evil companionship corrupts good manners. Also see Ephesians 5:11. That's Ephesians 5:11 and Romans 16:17. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of Yahweh. I speak this to your shame. And then in verse 41, there is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in splendor. I won't use the glory there. It is raised in splendor, it is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. And that's one of the the manifestations of Yahweh is his power. Although the scripture does say, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith Yahweh. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And then verse 47 talks about Yahweh from heaven. Verse 51, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. So we shall not all sleep. He uses that English word there. You could look that up in the concordance. In the Greek, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. See also Revelation 11:15. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Hosea 13:14. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Hebrews 2:14. Thanks be to Yahweh, which giveth us the victory through our Savior, Master Yahushua HaMashiach. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Yahweh, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Master. So our active labor is not in vain. Oh, that's a very beautiful rendition of the resurrection there. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. And there's so much more that we could do and go on. And if I knew what your interests were, I could extrapolate or go into that much deeper. Or which feasts you'd like to hear a little bit more about, Shavuot or Pentecost or first fruits, all the same. Incidentally, this next chapter there, 1 Corinthians 16, talks about Pentecost. In verse 8, I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost, so that's in the year 68 BCE. Oh, that's way, way after the resurrection. 35 or 6, 7 years after the resurrection of the Messiah, they're still keeping Shavuot, or Pentecost, at the proper time, that is. And my email address is stephanyah@yahweh.name. That's Stephanyah with a Zadi. That's T-S-E-P-H-A-N-Y-A-H. And ampersand, or at, yahweh.name. So we have this hope. And we read there in 2 Peter. And then we'll leave on that note, I think, today. But have a wonderful feast. May you be blessed. And remember that during the feast of Pesach, that an unleavened bread, as you go about cleaning around the house, try to, you know, think of getting sin out of your life, that all the leaven that you might find later on that you forgot to get rid of something or another, some product, a box of crackers or something, that is the symbolic of sin that you might have in your life, that later on when you scrutinize your life, when you analyze things, that you find out that, and you read the word, that it convicts you, and you say, wow, here's more sin that I've been doing these things all along without not even being aware of it. So let's think about that. And also don't go to the extreme of taking furniture apart, trying to get that little crumb of bread out of there. I don't think that that's what the apostles did when they were going through, and Moses and all the prophets and people of old and the old and newer scriptures. I don't think they were going to that extreme to clean up the house, to do their spring cleaning, as it was. We have to use a little common sense in that regard. And vacuuming is good, but they didn't have the auric in those days. And no plug-in either for it, I guess. But just use your common sense on that regard. And then, let's see, we talked about Shavuot on the proper timing of that, so there's information available about that on our website, according to our belief. Not keeping it the way Rome has taught us to do. And then we have Sukkot, and that's another traveling feast, the third one in the year at the end of the summer season there. And we have a wonderful time also in getting together with others around locally and those who come in from a long distance, perhaps. And we just enjoy our fellowship and growing and getting more and more encouraged at each feast and maturing and learning some of the scriptures and concepts of scriptures that we have ignored or didn't really understand or confused about. We get a lot of understanding from one another at these feasts, from our spiritual leaders and from our brothers and sisters. So we look forward to that great Sukkot, that last great supper with Yahweh, or actually our first supper as we step into the eternity with him, if I said that right. According to the book of Zechariah, chapter 14, we will go up from year to year to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, we're going to celebrate every day with him, but that's one of his big feasts. Okay, so it says in 2 Peter that the day of Yahweh, in 2 Peter 3:10, the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night. Now, that might be a noisy thief that it represents there, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be in all separated conversation and goodliness? See Matthew 24:35. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And verse 18, the last verse, but grow in unmerited favor and in the knowledge of our Master and Savior, Yahusha. To him be esteem, both now and forever.